Love is the law each and every day here on the Lori and Julia Show, including today, the Thursday edition. Glad you're out there listening to us on the radio, on the app, on the stream, maybe even in the future as a podcast. Thank you, future people, for listening to Lori and Julia.
Hi. Thank you, Rocco.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, my gosh. Julia, do you see what I brought in today?
I see a napkin with pencil writing on it.
Yeah. I was at bowling last night, Jules.
How'd you do?
Julia, I mean, our team is
you're
just
one with the pins.
Well, there's only 10 teams, Rocco.
Rocco,
we've gone
you're
from 22
do this.
To 10.
Yeah, you know, I saw a note that my old bowling league, only two teams showed up for week one.
Yeah, oh, that's not good. You guys didn't have a captain meeting like our league does at Tuttle's. They're well organized there. It depends, you know, but we're a sanctioned league. Sometimes right? when they're casual leagues like beer and pizza or whatever. But anyway, we're all really kind of loving the new bowling. We'll be glad when we can go back to regular bowling. But for right now, because we want to feel safely bowling, having a lane and a table between all the teams and only having four-man teams and only 10, I mean, bowling goes by fast. It's super fun. People eat up in the upper thing of it.
Yes.
You know, it's just, it's a blast.
Now, can I ask, does everybody bring their, do you rent shoes and borrow balls, or does everybody have
people
their own?
Who are in sanctioned leagues tend to, at least after the first, season, you're like, I want my own ball. I want my own shoes.
I'm just trying to think of all the precautions at the bowling.
They've always listened. If you always put your foot in a bowling shoe, you're not going to get COVID from a bowling shoe.
That's why I feel about those things. But Rocco, Lori has a Hello Kitty ball.
I've heard this.
Yes. Oh, so good. And my shoes are gray and pink. My ball is pink. I'm very coordinated.
Although I love this.
The inside of my bowling shoe is like some kind of, do we call it vinyl?
Oh, sure.
And I have a hot foot. I do have to take off my shoes sometimes and wiggle my toes.
He has one foot that runs hot.
Yeah.
Just one?
Just seriously.
One.
He only has one.
One hot foot.
It literally runs hot.
Oh, I've had to stop skiing.
He's got a fever.
I've had to stop skating. I've got a thing with the right foot. It tingles and it gets hot. And then I have to take off whatever is on my foot. It's a problem.
This is for real.
But last night I was kind of my average is only like 138. So I bowled like, 140 the first game. Then I bowled like a 148 and then I did a 158. And one of our gals bowled a 206.
Wow.
So she's going to be the high woman so far in our
season. High woman.
Yeah, just super fun. And of course, I'm always putting my foot in my mouth at bowling,
The hot foot or the
hot foot? The hot foot that's called my mouth and my thoughts, because the bowling is a place just like being with friends or family, but you really let it all hang
out.
You
do. Yes.
And wouldn't you agree, Rocco, you're a bowler?
Oh, yeah.
So much trash talking. Right. So much crap is given.
Right.
And so you know this gal, and she knows who she is, Jenna.
And hi, Jenna.
She because the Avon lady came with the Avon book.
Our Holly Dork.
Oh, I was so excited to have it. This was a real big catalog, this one. And Avon is, they're selling everything.
Cutting
it's like
edge.
QVC in a catalog. But so somehow I was like, yeah, I don't know. I've never really found an Avon mascara that I've ever returned to or something. And my girl says to me, oh, I have the best mascara. And she likes the Clinique Chubby. And she gives me another product. And I just looked at her and I said, I am not going to take my advice about mascara from somebody who doesn't even look like they're wearing it.
What'd she say?
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Yeah.
I mean, it was like that's wake up mascara that she had on her eyes, but not clumpy. You know, like thinned out. And we were laughing so hard because she really thought she was giving me a great makeup tip.
Oh, yeah. And you're like, excuse me.
Excuse me. And then I looked at another girl. I go, now you've got nice, long, pretty lashes. What are you doing?
Right. And what'd she say?
Oh, she couldn't believe I had insulted the other girl. But I didn't quite mean it that way. But you know how it is.
I know how it is.
We were giggling and laughing because we've known each other
for a long time. Years.
And by the way, I got a fancy split last night.
What are the...
A fancy split, Julia.
Does that mean
when everybody goes, oh my God, or claps, or
okay,
other
well,
people.
What is it? What do you hit?
A fancy split is where I had one pin all the way over in the far side, you know, that sitting on the end, that one that's hard to get if it's standing alone, way over.
Yeah,
was the it corner.
The very far one?
That's the very the far seven, in the right? corner.
The seven?
That one.
Okay.
And then I have three bunched up over on the other side.
Oh, now that is a very good one.
That's what I call a fancy
that is
split.
A fancy
and a lot of people are watching because isn't that the worst when you hit an amazing shot and you turn around and nobody cares?
Did anyone see that?
Yeah, because we had for TV on, okay, so the debate, so people were laughing about the fly. That was the one thing that came through bowling about the debate was the fly sitting on Pence's head for 2 minutes. Then on another screen, they had Smoke and Joe Frazier and Ali on ESPN. They're playing all these old boxing.
That'd be
right.
Fun.
And then the New York Yankees were playing whoever. And I found out just last night that the Twins are out.
Okay, Lori, they were out the second game.
Yeah,
okay, but maybe was I gone? Was I gone?
Yes, you were.
You were gone.
Okay, that
was very discouraging.
So I said to the girl, you know,
where are the Twins?
I said, what's happening with our Twins? And the team just looked at me and they're like, that happened several days ago.
That happened. We broke a record the 18th.
Yeah, 18 consecutive playoff losses. That's no other team in any sport has ever done.
You know
that.
What? It's nice to have a record,
right.
And that could be broken.
I don't.
Not easily.
It's going to take a while.
It's going to take
this
a long.
This one took us 16 years to get it.
That's wow. Just unbelievable. It was
well,
unbelievable.
You know, it's a record. A record is a record,
is
Julia.
A record. A record is a record.
But
you're so funny.
Can I tell you the discovery I made at the damn bowling alley?
Please.
Looking through the Avon catalog?
Okay.
I'm get to the last page and I'm ordering some things. They had some good deals on Skin So Soft lotion and the oil and the spray on oil because I like that stuff for the winter.
Yeah, I do too.
And
they have spray on oil. I love spray on lotion.
Yes.
Too.
I might have gotten
to get
something.
My back.
I ordered so many things, Julia.
Oh, Lori,
I might have gotten
so
you something.
Funny.
Okay. Like I brought you a candle from Montecito from Oprah's store.
I have been burning that for two nights in a row. It's so lovely. It's magnolia.
Isn't it good?
It's lovely.
I know. It was a small size because the big one was 50 and the small one was 10. So I went.
It was so good. I love it.
But I go to the back page of the bowling or the Avon catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend goes, does that cream say $350? I said, no way. This is Avon. Yeah, they have a cream.
$350.
It's Avon's version of La Mer.
Oh, wow.
It's called Mission Luxurive. Kind of a bad name.
Luxury.
And then it says cream and then creme.
Well, you got to do it in France.
French.
If you're going to charge that much money.
But you can get it right now for $280.
Oh, it's on sale.
Yeah. And then the other kind of cool thing they had, just because it's a very basic price point, they had this root touch-up for dark-haired women,
yes.
Or reddish brown or light brown, but it's like it's a powder,
yeah.
Like you would daub it like a dauber. It was hair dauber powder.
I love it.
$15.
I love it. All right, there's your Avon update.
There's your Avon update.
We gotta go.
We'll be right back.
Hang on a second. Let me get mad at you.
It's that time of the week. Time for
it's Matt Belanger.
Belanger. Belanger.
Is that it?
It's Matt Belanger.
Bowina, Badina, Balanger.
It's Matt Belanger.
You know who
that's
you are.
Not even how you pronounce Bazinga.
It's Matt Belanger.
Don't listen to them. It's Matt Belanger.
It's Matt Belanger.
Hello,
Belanger. They're going to play that at my funeral.
Yes.
I hope it's a good time.
Yes.
I think so. It's such a cheery, upbeat song. You know,
yeah.
Rocco did that.
That's he's right. Amazing. Rocco, aww. You're the man.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. That's yeah. One of my favorites.
And a week ago when you were talking to Julia,
He
was out of town last week. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I was rallying around Montecito looking for Harry and Meghan's driveway and gate and found it. I'd like you to know.
First, I have two thoughts, Lori. One,
yes.
I'm not shocked that you bought Julia the cheaper candle. But
oh
two,
yeah, no, not
that,
at all.
That French cream is on sale. I cannot believe you passed up that deal.
Right to buy the Avon Mission Luxure Creme.
I just was like, Avon selling a cream for $350. I need
to
sit down.
It's an oxymoron.
Right. That's
it really is.
An eye- popping situation right there. Hey, I want to talk real quick to start here about the election. Obviously, it's coming up, and a lot of people, as you know, are voting absentee.
Yes.
And did you ladies know that you can check the status of your absentee ballot after you send it off into the mail to, like, make sure that they got it on the other end and it's going to be counted and everything's going to be okay?
I didn't know that until I voted that way for the primary. And then I looked it up and it said, or whatever website, maybe you have it for us, and it said, we've received your vote and it's been tabulated.
Yes.
And I think that's so comforting to know, because there are so many stories about you forgot to put it in the one envelope, or you didn't sign the right place, and then you don't want your vote to not count.
Listen, the flames that have been fed over all this voting by mail is just ridiculous. There's not been problems. There hasn't been problems. There's not going to be problems.
So give us.
I checked on mine, and they got it, and it's going to be. It says it will be counted, and it just gives you that sigh of relief.
What's
the
Julie, website,
did you do
Matt?
It?
I'm going in person.
Yeah, it's called the. Oh, good, good. I have a question for you then, Julie, about that.
Okay.
But it's the Secretary of State's website for the state of Minnesota. The website address is too long to rattle off here on the radio.
It's easy
but
to
it's
find.
It happens to be on my Facebook page. I put a link up recently, so if anybody wants to go there, you can click through, and it takes a minute tops. Type in your stuff, and it'll tell you what's going on.
All right, cool.
Okay, so. In-person voting, Julia, my question for you is, do you know what happens if there happens to be someone who does not want to wear a face mask to go in to vote?
You know what?
You can't go in and vote.
I would like to think that.
That is not correct. So actually, we did a little digging into this on Five Eyewitness News, and unlike a store or an airline where they can just be like, no, you cannot come in, the state cannot stop anyone from voting, even if they refuse to put a face mask on.
Yeah.
So they've been figuring this situation out in case it comes up at the polls. And here's what you need to know.
You'd have to be a real a-hole to do that.
Well,
you'd have to be a super a-hole. And I just don't think there's that many here.
But the situation could come up, and so what first is going to happen is they'll offer curbside voting, so the election judges will come outside to allow that person to cast a ballot. If they deny that and they demand to go inside without a face mask on, they will be allowed to do so.
Yeah, okay.
However, the big little asterisk to this is the poll workers will take their information and report that to the authorities. So they'll get in. So they'll be cited, or they'll be getting some trouble.
Yeah,
for that,
I don't know why anyone would want to make that point.
I don't either.
You know, when it's so easy to vote if you don't want to go in person and you want to just do it by mail, they make it very easy for you.
It's good though that the state is thinking ahead.
Yeah, sure.
In case the situation comes up, I think it's very good that they've thought it through, and then so that's what's going to happen if it happens at your polling location. So I just wanted to let everybody know.
Thank you.
We've talked a little bit about Halloween, which is coming up right around the corner here, and I have a really sweet story out of Long Lake. So, you know, there's some recommendation that trick-or-treating as usual doesn't go on, obviously, because of the pandemic.
I don't get it either.
I know. Well, but some people might be hesitant to open the door and have that face-to-face contact with folks, even with masks.
Don't open the door, turn your lights off. Have to be canceled.
Hide in the basement or whatever.
Right.
But the fire department, this is really sweet, the fire department in Long Lake has decided to give kids another option to keep everyone safe, too. And so they are going to load up the fire trucks in town with candy. And on Halloween night, they're going to drive around, and then they're going to drive around and hit all the driveways in town. And they're going to hit, you know, people who are out at the end of the driveway, they're going to stop and give each kid some candy.
Like throw it at them like a fire truck parade?
Kind of like a parade, yeah. Kind of hand it out or toss it down or whatever. And you know, and they assured us, of course, you know, we're the news, so we think of everything. And they'll have enough fire trucks and crews ready in case there is an emergency at that time.
I was thinking the same thing.
I mean, how is it any different walking up to a house and somebody gives you a candy bar?
If they're
Snickers wearing
a mask.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
I think individual
bubble.
Yeah, yep. I think individual parents and neighborhoods are going to all make their own decisions.
I think so, too. But that is a cute idea that they're doing.
I thought it was nice. Yeah. You know, I thought it was nice that the city's kind of taking a step to to really just try to give another option for people who aren't comfortable going out about and doing it the other way. So it's just something a little to take note of. And the last thing is, have you watched the show? I got sucked in, and this is the only show that I have binged, like legitimately binged in a long time. It's called Ratched.
And it's on
Netflix, and it's loosely based on Nurse Ratched from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Loose being the operative word right there. It's because it's Ryan Murphy.
Have you watched it?
No, I started it.
We've watched trailers of it.
I started it.
What did you think?
I have like a crush on Sarah Paulson. Like, I just think she's so good in these types of roles, and I think she really delivers. What did you think about the first little bit that you watched?
I loved the steering wheel on the green car at the beginning, and I wish we would go back to oversized steering wheels.
Okay.
It would be so much more of a comfortable drive.
No, it's beautifully filmed.
It's a great one, so if you're looking for something, give it a shot.
Right. Okay, thanks, Matt. Good to hear from you.
All right, when we come back, we're talking with Brian Freeman, our author. We'll be right back. Everybody, thanks for hanging out with us on this Thursday, October 8th. When we last spoke with Brian Freeman, who's joining us on the phone right now, New York Times bestselling author, we were talking to him in August about you were selected by the Robert Ludlum Estate to write the next book in the Jason Bourne series called The Bourne Evolution. So you've come down from that cloud, and now you're on your Jonathan Stride cloud because this is your 15th book, Funeral for a Friend.
Exactly. Bourne feels like it was just a few weeks ago. Oh, wait, it was.
It was. Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Oh, my God. Okay, so, Brian, once again, I mean, I don't know how you managed to come up with your stories. I mean, you're just such a great, great writer, whatever you're writing under, whether it's a standalone or the, you know, Jason Bourne or Cab Bolton. And now this, your 15th book, your Jonathan Stride. Is this your baby?
Yeah, I kind of do feel like, you know, Stride's my old friend. I mean, that's where it all started 15 years ago. And every time I bring Stride back on stage, it tugs at my heart a little bit. You know, and that's what I love to do with my thrillers, is to fill it all with those twists and turns, but also have that little twist that gets you in the heart as well.
Well, give people a setup, because I liken Jonathan Stride to being like a Michael Conley's character, Bosch.
Yes.
You know, or Lucas Davenport, John Sanford. Or, you know, Cork O'Connor, William Kent Kruger. I mean, he's such a great character, takes place up in Duluth, but kind of give a setup of who Jonathan Stride is.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Stride is so much a northern Minnesota kind of hero. I mean, he's got this step-by-step determination to get to the truth, which is actually one of the reasons I named him Stride, was to kind of make his name reflect that doggedness in his personality. And, you know, he's known a lot of loss in his life, and he faces a lot of tough times throughout the series, but he's a Minnesota guy, so when that cold wind blows, he just kind of tucks his head down and keeps on moving forward.
And, you know, and it's fun. If you have any love at all for northern Minnesota, and particularly Duluth, I mean, you do hit a lot. And like for me, there's a lot of the book that is taking place at the Deeps on Seven Bridges Road, which was like, I lived there in high school. That's where we made out and had parties and went swimming.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I love using these real places in all the books. I mean, I think that just kind of gives readers this great, oh, I know exactly where that is feel to it. And, you know, and it creates that authentic flavor when you know you can, you know, call up pictures and see, yeah, that's exactly where that's taking place.
Okay, so Brian, we read in the paper this week that St. Louis County commissioners are considering a $1 million film production incentive rebate, like what Georgia does and what we used to do for the state, but it's the first time a county to give $1 million so they can start filming stuff up in Duluth, because they film all this stuff in Canada.
Yep.
How that looks can fill in for a lot of places. And they mentioned that that money, maybe it would be the Stride series with AMC. Could be filmed.
We are crossing fingers and crossing toes and crossing anything else we can cross. You know, AMC has commissioned a pilot script based on The Burying Place, my fifth Jonathan Stride novel, to turn it into a Stride TV series. And, you know, I've seen a couple drafts of the pilot script. I think it's, you know, absolutely terrific. So we're all hoping that AMC, you know, puts it into production and we can see Stride and Duluth on TV. I think it would just be fantastic.
Brian, who would you want to cast as Jonathan Stride?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. It's a tough one. I mean, you know, you can go with kind of a, you know, a big name and hope that that draws viewers in that way, or you can find, you know, like a great character actor like they did with Bosch and Titus Welliver, someone that could really take that part and make it his own. So I'm just really curious to see, you know, who they find and find someone that can really just kind of bring Stride to life.
Yeah, that would just be amazing if St. Louis County did that, because there's all this interest in filming and shooting in Minnesota, and in particularly in northern Minnesota, and we can't even compete in the game if there isn't this thing. So it would just be incredible. We need that incentive.
Yeah, absolutely. And AMC is, you know, I've seen their notes about the pilot script, and they're so intent on really capturing that Minnesota flavor and what makes Minnesota and Duluth unique as a
thing.
Yeah,
they'll just go to Canada.
We've got to bring that out. So,
they'll just go to Canada if they can't do it. But, I mean, Park Point, and, I mean, that would just be that. Anyway, so our fingers are crossed with that. So what are you doing? This, like the Jason Bourne book that you're promoting a few weeks ago, are you doing everything just book clubs and, you know, the virtual thing?
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of virtual events for the past couple of weeks as the new book came out. And
do you like
talking about Stride? I've been so thrilled with the reader reaction too. I mean, yeah, I think I'm up to 22 books in the market now, and you always want, you know, a reader to pick up each new one and say, "Wow, that's the best book yet." And but boy, you have that many books out there, and it's a challenge. But I love the reader reaction. So many fans have just really embraced Funeral for a Friend, and I've had folks, you know, talking to me and saying, "Gosh, they were in tears by the end of chapter one as Stride deals with the loss of his best friend and this shocking deathbed confession that turns Stride's life upside down.
Yeah, it's very good. And the other thing that I thought was like oddly comforting in Funeral for a Friend, and I don't think I'm giving anything away just because we have the words are in it, but there's whether it's a dream or whatever you want to call it, but a thing where you're in heaven or you're in the white light between, that how you described that was just incredible.
That was a real tough emotional scene for me to write.
I believe
it. When you look at the cover of Funeral for a Friend, you'll see this was the first time I ever told the publisher I really wanted the cover based on a particular scene, and I wanted them to do a cover inspired by that particular chapter in the book, and so that's what they did.
Yeah, Brian, I gotta be honest. I'm in reading hell right now. I have so many books.
Julia's booking all the authors, and she overbooked.
I'm being Donnie Love, and so we've had six this month, and I just can't read as ferociously as Lori. But
I also took a little California vacation, so I had two plane rides. You know what I mean?
A book
I had
a
some
day.
Time.
But here's the thing: she told me about this. She goes, "This is so good, you're gonna die." I mean, it's that good. I mean, I loved the Jason Bourne one that we just read, and I loved your last one. So,
but I love Jonathan Stride. I do love him, and I do think that you did with all the topics that you cover, with what the story is, what the secret is, everything that happens. Your beautiful descriptive writing. I mean, I love when you describe nature, Brian. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, thank you. And, you know, what I try to do, I mean, this is my 10th Jonathan Stride novel, but I always try to write each Stride novel like a standalone so that readers can dive in anywhere. So even if you've never met Stride in any of the earlier books, I think you can really pick up Funeral for a Friend and you're going to fall in love with him.
I read them all. I mean, I've now read them in order, but I mean, I read a Cab Bolton. I jumped to a Frost Easton. I mean, I've read them. I just think you can pick
them
up.
I have read them out of order.
Yeah,
right.
And it doesn't matter.
It does.
Yeah. And that's important. I mean, we always talk about the fact that, hey, you're not going to just have friends that you met in your teens and 20s. You're going to meet people throughout their lives. And when you meet them and you like them, then you want to go back and kind of find out about the stories that led them to that point in their lives. And I think that's the way a good series should work, too.
Brian, have you heard from Matt Damon? What's the word on the Bourne evolution?
I must have missed his call is all I can figure.
I think it's his birthday today.
I can't believe he wouldn't be on the phone right away to tell me, hey, let's get moving on a movie here.
But your story for Bourne Evolution, unless they want to have somebody else play Bourne, but over the summer, I kind of did end up binge watching like two back-to-back Bourne movies, and those were enjoyable damn movies.
I love them.
Yeah, no, they were really good. Yeah, absolutely.
And that your story that you lay out in the Bourne Evolution would be a great movie.
Okay, I have an idea for you, Brian.
Okay.
It's Matt Damon's birthday today. He turned October 8th. He was born 1970. He's 50 years old today. You could send him a tweet.
I'm going to tweet him. And I'm going to tweet a copy of your book.
That's an excellent plan, yes.
Don't you think?
Excellent plan.
I don't know. Is Matt Damon, I mean, why can't he just continue to be Jason Bourne?
Well, he should be Jason Bourne. I'm just saying, tweet him the latest cover of the Bourne book.
Yes, I will.
Yes.
Brian, I love having a little PR responsibility at least once a day.
I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we got to ask you, what's the last great book that you've read?
Oh, the last great book that I have read. Actually, I'm just finishing. I read a lot of nonfiction, biographies and histories and things like that, and I'm actually finishing up a biography of Frank Sinatra, which is just fascinating. Oh. I love kind of, you know, finding out things about people that you really never knew. So,
what did you find out about him that you didn't already know?
What I did not realize was how low his career got in the middle, in the early 50s. I mean, he practically had no career, no money, no hits. He was down and out before he got the guest starring role in From Here to Eternity that really revived his career. But people had kind of written him off at that point in his career.
Wow. Look at that. That's a good little fact. There's a documentary on him, on Frank Sinatra. It's just two parts. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Too. I can't remember where I watched it, but he's a fascinating man.
And, you know, I always learn a lot, you know, when I read biographies and things, I just learn things about people that always help me when I'm crafting characters in my books as well. So.
Interesting. Okay. Well, we love talking to you. Minnesota's own Brian Freeman. The new book is Funeral for a Friend. Pick it up. I've already got two texts from friends. Can I read it when you're done? I'm like, go buy it.
I know. I'm sending mine to my stepsister, Cindy, up in Duluth. She's listening. She's a big fan, Brian. Yeah. She reads all your books in order, though.
And thank you so much. And we'll look forward to hearing from you soon.
That sounds good. Thank you. I've got the paperback of The Deep, Deep Snow coming out in just a couple of weeks. So we're not done this year yet.
Okay, people, that is such a good book. Now, that was great. Mm-hmm. And we also have two copies of the new book available. Give us a buzz. And hopefully you haven't gotten a book lately. 651-641-1071. And Rocco will take your information.
Bye, Brian. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Talk to you later. All right. Listen, we come back. I don't know if this TV show deserves it, but we're awfully glad it's happening.
Hi, that was nice talking to Brian.
Oh,
he just can pound out the books.
Yeah, I want St. Louis County to just figure out.
That's up north by Duluth, right?
That's Duluth.
Duluth County.
Okay. St. Louis County, huge. Like,
I don't know how they're going to find money because they're in trouble. I mean,
there's always money to be found to be taken from something else, because if you can give $1 million but get $4 million in return. Or $5 million or whatever.
We're trying to get people to come and make movies and TV shows here, but they won't do it if there isn't a rebate.
It'd be up in St. Louis County, so Duluth.
Let's fingers crossed.
Yeah, it would bring up so much money. It would employ so many people. Yes. And this is how they did it in Georgia, apparently.
And they're doing everything in Georgia.
And you know how that started? It started with a county, not the state, to show they were like,
They, I love it.
Because of the natural, there's so much natural scenery that's there.
In northern Minnesota.
In northern Minnesota, you have lots of, I mean, wouldn't you agree, Rocco, when you think of all, you've got hills, you've got cliffs, you've got beach, you've got rocks.
You've got Lake Superior.
You've got the lake.
Yes.
You've got, dark, spooky places, you know.
Duluth, like, has it all. I mean, you can go to Duluth and feel like you're in four different exotic countries, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, so I hope that really, really, really happens. And then I'm very excited. This was rumored. I knew it was going to happen because they just look so bad this year. But the Real Housewives of New York announced that
they have a new cast.
They've got a new apple to give to her. Name is Ebony Williams, and she's the first Black woman to be on the Real Housewives of New York, which, of course, that show has been blindingly white for 13 seasons when you consider what a diverse city New York City is. But she's like,
she's darling.
She's darling. I don't know what the Real Housewives of New York did to deserve her. And I can't imagine how awful Ramona is going to be to her.
She has a law degree.
Oh, yeah. She's an attorney.
Yeah.
No, she's.
Why does she want to do this?
Well, I don't know. I mean, she's been on TV before. She was a correspondent for CBS. She was a contributor for Fox News. Mm-hmm. Apparently, she's on Diddy's Revolt TV.
Okay.
She does a show called State of the Culture. She's very private about her life. She's written a book.
Wait a minute. She's very private about her life.
Her love life up until now. She's not looking, combing through her stuff. She's not been out loud. But, I mean, I'm just saying that.
It's time.
I don't know. I know that the Real Housewives of New York, the show, needs her. Is she what they deserve after all of this? And if they don't get rid of Ramona, which doesn't sound like they're.
No, it doesn't sound like
I'm already worried for Ebony. Because Ramona is just so awful.
Yeah. She is.
Yeah, she is. There's a big cry for Jeff Goldblum to play the fly on SNL during the VP debate.
How Mike Pence.
He didn't know.
It was amazing to me how he didn't move. Like, I always can hear something, the din of a fly or a mosquito. I absolutely loved how still he was. I thought...
His hair is shellacked.
Well,
you know, yeah, so he might not have felt it.
Kamala's.
Right, that's what I mean.
Because everything was sprayed down.
Sprayed down, and she had a clip in her hair that I thought was a leftover styling clip. I did not like that at all. That bugged me. But yeah, Jeff Goldblum, that's The funny. Fly, SNL.
Okay,
that
I
might
hated
be happening.
That movie, The Fly.
Oh my gosh.
That movie scared me so much when the very first whisker came out of him.
Oh yeah.
That movie.
You should have seen the original with Vincent Price.
Oh, I can't imagine. But that movie is a scary movie, and that would hold up right now.
It really would. And Twitter was very funny with The Fly. I know these are serious times or whatever, but we've had to be serious every day for so long. People just like breathe a sigh of relief when something funny like that happens.
Yeah, that is funny because that was so random.
And it was 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's so random.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's happening. Oh, this was a really great story on the Today Show. So, you know, we've talked about how our hearts kind of are really feeling for kids and this whole
parents,
the coronials,
children.
And just like how stressed people are and people are stressing out about stressing and just like, and we're tired of being stressed and it's been so long. So Vicky, I forget her last name. She's the consumer and health reporter for the Today Show, but she sat down with some teens and tweens to talk about how are they really doing and what's going on.
Okay.
One thing I thought that was really positive in talking to some of the experts is they said that this generation is going to come out a lot more resilient because of what you've been through. So if there's a silver lining from this, what do you think it is?
I feel like we're probably going to be a lot more determined to do things.
We're strong, can deal with things.
And they are dealing. From school shutdowns to quarantining away from friends for months, we asked two child psychologists, Dr. Jamie Howard and Dr. Rebecca Berry, for some advice.
So I don't want kids to take a hiatus from trying to make and maintain friendships during this time. To the extent possible, we want to keep kids connected.
I really try and promote what we call behavioral activation, really wanting to get them back into the pleasant activities that used to boost their mood.
They say tweens ages 10 to 12 are just starting to form their identities and friend groups and want some independence. Set up a small social pod of trusted friends and family. Keep get-togethers small and outdoors, like at a park. For teens 13 to 17, our experts say they're missing social events like prom and class trips, while also seeking more thrills. To help, make a list of their favorite activities and try to have them do at least one a day.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that. And she did. I don't know if we have any more audio after that.
Yeah, one more.
One more. Is this some of the kids?
Or maybe this might be more of the experts.
Okay.
This is the time to put one foot in front of the other and do the best you can. And that's actually what the definition of resilience is. It's not that you come out better than ever. It's that you get through it intact. And so that's the goal here.
What advice would you give to other young people who might be having a really tough time?
Go outside and have fun.
I was actually a part of a theater camp that we did it all virtually, except for the times where we had to shoot dance numbers. We did that in person, but social distance. If you want to do stuff, you can totally look for opportunities.
I started knitting and painting and drawing, and I feel like those definitely helped me de-stress.
Try to pick up new life skills like cooking and baking and like caring for like your room and stuff. Because like when we get older, we're going to have to learn how to do stuff by ourselves.
I love it. Practical skills.
Just try to focus on what's important and try to keep yourself and other people in your mind.
Wise words from a generation learning to adapt in the middle of a 100-year crisis.
Now, for kids who had mild anxiety, who weren't big fans of being social, the pandemic has actually been a positive experience for them, according to the experts we talked with. However, they are encouraging parents to give those young people a nudge now so they can safely interact with others and exercise those muscles, too.
So, yeah. So I just said, and she did. She sat down and the kids were like 10 to 17. Mm-hmm. They were all sitting outside at a park and talking and, you know, and the one kid, I never thought I'd be a baker, but I've become a baker. And, you know, and it seemed like all of them did like the pod friend thing where they had two or three friends that they were allowed to mingle with and hang out with. And that seemed to be something that a lot of people had come up with early on.
Yeah.
You know, because you can't see everybody.
No, I know.
Yeah. So there you go. Helps
putting one foot in front of the other.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that.
Flexing the muscles.
We talked about that.
Yes,
the
we
resiliency
have.
Yes, we of have. Getting through something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Listen, when we come back. Oh my gosh, Julia.
What, honey? Well, I've got.
I don't even know what to tell you.
All right,
this
don't
is
tell
so
me yet.
Juicy. Okay, it's so juicy.
You're listening to My Talk 107.1 Everything Entertainment. This is Lori and Julia.